So what was your reaction when you when they gave you the news?
Oh, I cried too. Yep. I cried and I'm pretty sure they probably didn't use my video as one of the reactions in that manifesto video, because I also started cussing too. I was like, shit, are you fucking kidding me?
Hey, it's Callie, and you're listening to the Hippie Haven podcast. Today is a special episode because I've got a big announcement to make, actually one of the biggest things to ever happen in my life. So if you've listened to previous episodes, you probably already know about my businesses, but if you're new here, a quick introduction. I started a small batch manufacturing company in January 2017 called Bestowed Essentials. Over the last 3 years, it has grown and evolved so much, from a small Etsy shop and a booth at the local farmers market to now being one of the leaders in the zero waste business industry with our eco-friendly personal care and cleaning products found in over 200 stores across the US and Canada. In December 2019, we also opened our own store, Hippie Haven, which is the first zero waste store in the state of South Dakota. My vision, which is reflected in the name, was to create a safe and welcoming space that cultivated ideas and action towards positive change in our community. And despite the pandemic, we're still doing that. At Hippie Haven, we sell refillable and reusable products to help our customers reduce their trash and their impact on the environment. We also provide various community resources, such as a lending library, free recycling drop-off services, educational workshops, small business pop-ups, this podcast, and more. I do not do this work alone. It is all thanks to my incredible team. Cheska is the store manager. She's the one who does just about everything I just mentioned at Hippie Haven. Hannah leads daily operations for Bestowed Essentials, and she was just recently joined by Sabrina, who will be co-managing production. And then we've got Raylin covering all things related to communications, including this Hippie Haven podcast, as well as a few support staff members who work as needed on various projects. Now, the COVID pandemic has been tremendously hard on both of my small businesses. Hippie Haven was closed for 3 months. Our wholesale revenue at Bestowed Essentials absolutely plummeted. I had to cut employee hours and even gave up my apartment and slept at the store for 6 weeks to save money when things were particularly rough. Luckily, business has been picking up again recently, but that's brought a whole new level of stress because we haven't had enough money in the bank to buy the ingredients and packaging to make the products to fulfill the sudden influx of orders coming in. My stress levels have been so high this year that it's actually physically manifesting as health problems in my body. I literally had an emergency dental appointment this morning because I got closed lockjaw for the last 2 days straight from clenching my teeth so hard while I'm asleep, because I'm so stressed that I'm like even stressed in my dreams. But 1 month ago, I got a call that has quite literally changed my life and changed the course of my business. I found out that Bestowed Essentials was selected as one of the 15 winners of the Stacey's Rise Project, which includes a $10,000 grant. Stacey's Pita Chip is a female-founded brand with a history of helping women rise. Since 2017, Stacey's Rise Project has invested more than $600,000 in female-founded businesses, and I am still in shock that my business is now part of this incredible project. In addition, I'll be receiving one-on-one coaching with two executives at Pepsi, the parent company of Stacey's Pita Chips, plus paid digital ads, business growth training, and extensive national publicity in partnership with Kristen Press and Tobin Heath of the U.S. women's soccer team. As a completely self-funded business for the last 3 years, to now be awarded a $10,000 grant, especially during these difficult times, it is just a huge weight off my shoulders. Bestowed Essentials will be using this money to invest in new manufacturing equipment, to place larger bulk orders that'll bring down our costs and our waste, and to finally establish a legit marketing plan. I am so thrilled for this opportunity to catapult my tiny business to the next level, and I'm also completely inspired by my fellow winners, who are the true purpose of this episode, and I know you're going to be blown away by the amazing work they're doing to make the world a better place. So without further ado, the Stacey's Rise Project 2020 winners are Bright Black Candles, high-quality candles that use scent as an artistic medium and a platform to share positive narratives about Blackness, Color My Story, virtual and live art classes and art kits that promote healthy coping mechanisms to fight stress, Ever Violet, beautiful lingerie and loungewear that adapts to changes in your body after treatment for breast cancer and other life events, Fair Anita, employing over 8,000 women in 9 countries to create fair trade jewelry and accessories made from recycled materials. Femly, sustainable feminine care products that provide women access to healthy alternatives from toxic products. Fronin Foods, non-dairy ice cream made with 6 ingredients or less and always without allergens, gums, or artificial flavors. Hugo Coffee Roasters, an organic and fair trade coffee company on a mission to save dogs. Janita's Jar, a mission-driven cookie company creating conversations to educate and eliminate relationship violence against women. Just Date, an organic date syrup made from whole food plant sources for long-term health. Little Likes Kids, a boutique toy company with diverse imagery designed for a new generation of kids. Natty, organic wild rosehip juices that create safe jobs for refugees and empower their communities. Progeny Coffee, providing coffee transparency and support to help Colombian farmers out of poverty. Purpose Tea, a beverage company dedicated to empowering female tea workers. And So Fine Foods, their line of dress-it-up dressings are as healthy as your salad is, and they're giving back to DC school students in need. Seriously, it is a mind-blowing lineup of purpose-driven, female-founded small businesses. Us winners were just introduced to each other last Friday, and we're already brainstorming ways that we can support each other outside of all the fantastic things Stacey's is already doing for us. Now, I wanted to use my podcast platform today to share their stories because I know you're passionate about mission-focused female-led companies too. Now, unfortunately, with our various time zones and hectic schedules as female CEOs, I wasn't able to interview all the winners, but there will be links to all their websites in the show notes of your podcast app, as well as on my hippiehavenpodcast.com website, so you can click over on any and all of them that interest you, and please do support their businesses. So now let's hear from the Stacey's Rise Project, Class of 2020.
You know, the mission is what it is. The vision is to become the go-to coffee for animal lovers nationwide. But my dream, and I think this is important, is that my dream is a world where there are no unwanted, unloved, neglected, or abused animals.
We're here to be a business that can be a living, thriving member of our community.
We also are poised to be the very first adaptive lingerie and loungewear company that can address a myriad of issues. So I think that this is just the beginning, and I'm really grateful for Stacey's Rise Project for helping launch us in this way.
First, we'll hear the story of Kira, founder of Ever Violet.
Ever Violet is a beautiful lingerie and loungewear collection that nurtures changes in a woman's body following treatment for breast cancer and many of life's other meaningful events.
And what inspired you to start this company?
So Ever Violet was born out of my own personal need. I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 40, and thankfully was one of the lucky ones diagnosis-wise, but you can imagine my surprise when getting dressed in the morning became one of the most challenging aspects of the experience. And after undergoing surgery and reconstruction, I literally tried on over 200 bras in a 6-month period, and not one of them worked. They either were uncomfortable or ugly. I wanted something sustainable and soft against my skin. I also needed certain kinds of functionality because of sensitivities I had after my surgeries. After searching and speaking with so many other women about their experiences and learning how universal this is, I decided to pay my good prognosis forward and solve this problem for other women.
What's been the hardest challenge throughout your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, I mean, small business is challenging. I've bootstrapped the business myself, so that's obviously been hard. But I feel confident that we've done as much as we could with a small budget. I've put together an incredible team and an incredible collection. So I'm really grateful for that. Obviously, there's a ton of learning that goes into any startup. But, you know, that's part of the fun of it for me, is sort of seeing the challenges, solving the problems, and then kind of in growing the business.
What is your favorite product that you offer?
My favorite product is probably our Vela bra. It is a beautiful plunge lace, very supportive bra, but it has no wires. It has pockets if one wears prosthetics or needs shaper pads. It's adjustable. It adapts to your body if you have swelling or any other surgical incision site pain or nerve pain. It helps prevent lymphedema. It does so many things, but yet you'd never really know it because on the outside, it just looks like a beautiful bra. It also has a sustainable jersey against the skin so that you know that everything that's right up against that most vulnerable part of your body is being taken care of.
And how do you incorporate sustainability and diversity in your company?
So both of those are really important to me and to the company as a whole. Everything we do, we think through from a holistically healthy standpoint. So that means using fabrics that are natural, that are good for the body and the planet. We use recycled materials in all of our packaging and shipping materials. We also produce in small batches, so there's no waste. We believe in kind of creating some excitement around colors and styles and then selling through that so that we're not stuck with inventory and we're not spending money on garments that are just going to end up in landfills. In terms of diversity, it's really important that we accommodate as many different body types, surgical scenarios, age ranges, medical conditions as possible. So I spend a lot of time researching the women who are using our products, what their needs are. I do a lot of one-on-one communication, getting feedback, asking people what they need, what we haven't been able to provide, and how we can do so in the most inclusive way.
And where are your products made?
They're all made in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. So you guys do the manufacturing yourself.
The company is based up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and then half of the team is here and half the team is in LA. And yeah, we have a production team down there.
And how has COVID impacted your business?
Well, it's been interesting. You know, over the course, we've been in business about 18 months. And over the course of that time, we've learned just how relevant our products are for not only women who've faced breast cancer or breast surgery, but also for women who've faced so many other challenging situations, anything from thoracic and heart surgery to pelvic surgery, accidents, illnesses, post-pregnancy. It's been a really wonderful learning. However, when COVID hit, I couldn't imagine how challenging it must be to go through a cancer diagnosis during a pandemic. And so even though we were really trying to expand our reach to a broader market, we decided to kind of reel it back in and focus on the cancer community and provide as much content and support and resources both to them as well as their surgeons and physicians. We have a lot of medical partners that we work with. So we really tried to step up and provide as much emotional and psychological support to the cancer community as possible. And then the other really exciting piece is that we're now manufacturing face masks, and we will have those in stock within a couple of weeks.
How did you feel when you were on the video call and you found out that you were one of the winners?
Oh my God, I cried. And I don't cry a lot. I was so happy. I was so touched, flattered, honored. I'm also, having met the other winners, I'm just really, really honored to be surrounded by so many other great women. And I'm really excited what this program holds for all of us, both individually and collectively.
How do you plan on spending the grant money?
Well, so we have two production runs happening right now. The first is replenishing our our products that have sold out. One of the main pieces that we need to replenish is the piece that people wear right after surgery. It's a front close, wireless, incredibly soft jersey bralette. So we're going to be, we're replenishing that, and we're also manufacturing our masks. So it's a very, it's, it was the perfect amount of money to help support both of these endeavors.
Where can we learn more about EverViolet, and how can we support the work that you're doing?
Oh, thank you. Our e-commerce site is www.everviolet.com. And we also have a large social presence at EverViolet on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter. We also have an online Facebook community called Beauty of Change, which is our tagline and our mantra. And it's all about celebrating change together and navigating it together. So there's a lot of different ways to get involved. And we really invite anyone who wants to be a part of our community to come join, whether you've gone through cancer diagnosis or surgery or not.
This is Claudia, founder of Hugo Coffee Roasters.
At Hugo Coffee, we love to save dogs by roasting and selling fantastic fair trade coffee.
And how did you start Hugo Coffee Roasters?
I started Hugo Coffee Roasters in 2015, a year and a half after I bought a coffee shop and decided that I wanted to vertically integrate and control the quality of my own product and create a brand that gives back to animal rescue.
Do you still own that coffee shop today?
I still do, yeah. I bought it in February of 2013 and I still have it today. It's located in the Visitor Information Center in Park City, Utah.
What's been the hardest challenge throughout your entrepreneurial journey?
I think the hardest challenge for me has been the fact that I am a reformed attorney and have never opened or purchased or started a retail establishment or a manufacturing company. So there were lots of challenges that came along with doing something I'd never done before. A lot of it was really fun, but also very challenging.
What is your favorite product that you sell?
I personally have two favorites. My Bonafide, so I like hot, I like hot coffee and I like cold brew. My morning ritual is a French press of my Bonafide, which is a medium dark roast. And then my afternoon ritual is a glass of my fantastic Dog Days cold brew.
Why did you choose to focus on dogs specifically out of all the different animals in need?
I've always been completely ridiculously dog obsessed, and I don't restrict the use of funds to only saving dogs. I'll save any animals. I love animals. I don't care if it's a farm animal, a horse, a cat, a fish, or a dog. I just give to animal rescue. The reason I personally focus on dogs is because in a former life, I ran an animal rescue called Nuzzles and Company. And I adopted my handsome rescue dog, Hugo, from there. And dogs just happen to be my thing. I just love them, but I love all animals. And I want my donations from Hugo Coffee Roasters to benefit any and all animals. But Hugo's a dog, and that's my brand, and it's my logo. So I focus on dogs because I personally, that's my passion, are dogs.
I love that. That's so awesome. It's good to see, you know, a coffee brand that is giving back too.
Yeah. And it's just dogs are in my DNA and they always have been. And now it's in the DNA of my brand. And so this brand really, it marries two passions. For me, my passion is saving animals and particularly dogs. And my head roaster's passion, who's been with me from the beginning, we started this business together, is coffee. So between the two of us, we are living our passions.
How did you feel when you were on that video chat and you learned that you were one of the Stacey's Rise Project winners?
I actually got goosebumps.
Oh.
I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, the hair on my arm stood up. I was so thrilled because I think that this is such a great fit for me and my brand. And this opportunity is tremendous.
How do you plan on spending the $10,000 to grow your business?
I'm going to do a number of things. One, I have what I did learn in auditing my website is that my website is not CEO optimized or optimizable because it's a Shopify platform website. And apparently that's not great for SEO optimization. So I have to redo my website. I'm doing a WordPress wrap of the website to optimize my SEO potential. I am working on getting a affiliate influencer affiliate campaign going, and of course, digital online ads.
What do you foresee the future holding for Hugo Coffee Roasters?
I can tell you what my vision is. My vision for my company is to be the go-to coffee for animal lovers nationwide, because I want to impact animal rescues throughout the country. I want to donate to animal rescues throughout the country. So that's my vision for my company. That's a long-term vision, which I hope won't be too long-term. The is 1 to 5 year vision for me, or what I'm hoping and expecting to happen, is I'd like to get national distribution in grocery store chains, in addition to maximizing my online sales on my website. Ideally, I want to grow to a 10 million plus at least revenue company a year.
And where can we go to support you in the work that you're doing?
You can go to my website, www.hugo.coffee, as well as follow me on Instagram, which is @thehugocoffee, and spread the word that we are a fantastic high-end coffee roaster who gives 10% of their proceeds back to animal rescue. And the mission of my company is to save as many dogs as possible and just spread that word.
This is Kemi, founder of Little Likes Kids.
Little Likes Kids, puzzles and games for today's kids. We make classic traditional toys with decidedly diverse imagery.
And how did your entrepreneurial journey begin?
I started the company as a mom who was looking for items for my own son and not always easily able to find, I think, a diverse and inclusive selection of toys that was representative of him and his friends. And I was looking for something new to do than what I had been doing in the past, and was working with a career coach. You know, we did a series of exercises, and I continued to talk about this idea and passion of mine that I had. And in working with her, realized that I had the skill set and the privilege to give it a try. So I did, and I had, you know, sort of 1 foot in at first. And then about 2018 or so, I jumped in with 2 feet and focused on Little Likes Kids full time. Very recently, you know, became more aggressive as well about e-com sales and really working to give this a go.
What's been the biggest challenge in starting and growing your small business?
Well, certainly brand awareness, letting people know that we are out here and that we exist. When people do hear about us or see our products, they're very excited. The response to the brand and all the products has been very positive, very enthusiastic. And I think that I already have a number of not only followers, but shoppers who've turned into advocates. So that part is great. But of course, I need more and more people to know about us and that we exist. And inventory, a toy company, it's very inventory heavy in terms of a pull on finances. So making sure that there's capital to invest in inventory, and then also capital to advertise and market.
What's your favorite product, or maybe your son's favorite product?
He likes the playing cards right now because he's 7. And so we play a lot of, Go Fish, and we have our camping outdoors Go Fish cards. We have sports cards and the K's for Kicks alphabet cards. And right now he's very much into the camping outdoors cards. Before that, I guess we were still doing a lot of memory match. So our classic memory match games. You know, when he was even younger, he loved a great memory match game. You know, I myself really am partial to A Day at the Barbershop. That's, you know, a game, and it features all the things that you would encounter at the barbershop. And it was really fun thinking of the different sort of universal elements of the barbershop and, you know, working with the artist to pull it all together. At one point, you know, she had the barber holding scissors and, you know, this game is modeled on the Black barbershop and the barber absolutely needed to be holding clippers. So that was, you know, fun and just going, you know, back and forth and talking to my husband, but making sure I had all the right, you know, classic elements included. And then the artwork itself came out really well. It's excellent. It's whimsical. It's culturally rich. And, you know, we're getting a lot of positive feedback about it.
How do you strive to implement environmental sustainability in your company?
We are in the process of, you know, designing our packages. I, of course, worked with factories, you know, who were working with sustainable paper. We have, you know, sort of simply tried to turn as many elements that would, you know, once have been, you know, plastic to paper. And funny enough, in the process right now of redesigning the memory games, so that they have an eggshell crate that's made of paper material. So that's a lot of fun.
How did you feel when you were on that video call and you got the news that you were one of the Stacey's Rise Project winners?
I was shocked because I thought that I was just doing a, you know, check-in call. And it never even crossed my mind that that's what, you know, we would be talking about. So I was really surprised, really grateful. And emotional because it is the first outside money that I have in terms of investment in my company. So I felt validated, I felt seen, and I felt grateful.
How do you plan to spend the $10,000?
Branding and inventory. So I'm still on that. I'm still on brand awareness. I'll spend some money tweaking my website and inventory, which I've already made some purchases. So I'm excited.
And where can we go to support you in the work that you're doing?
You can go to my website, www.littlelikeskids.com. So it's littlelikes. KIDS.com. And there you'll find all the you know, online platforms that I sell on, Amazon, you'll find my Etsy shop, and you'll find a list of retailers.
This is Sophia, founder of So Fine Foods, which makes dress it up dressings.
We make salad dressing that's as healthy as your salad.
So tell me the story of your entrepreneurial journey.
I didn't plan on starting a company. My plan was mostly to do the career that I'd been doing for most of my adult life, which was being a filmmaker. And when my children were young, it became more and more of a struggle to kind of keep those hours. It required just too much time commitment. And so I was just looking for something to do that would give me a little bit more flexibility. And tossed around several ideas. And one of them was to make a business out of the salad dressing that my mother had served us when we were young. I'm one of four children, and we all left for college with the recipe and had been making it faithfully ever since. And sometime when we were in our 40s, we realized that every single one of us served this dressing almost every night. and my brother had the idea that you could make a business out of it. And so while kind of searching for something that I could do that would be meaningful while still being able to look after my children, I decided to give salad dressing a whirl. The reason that I thought that it was such a potentially good idea is that the salad dressing market really has a lot of limitations. You're making a salad and you're eating healthily, except salad dressing is so unhealthy. And it's usually filled with sugar and gums and starches and inexpensive oils and then a lot of water. And it looked like a place that could be improved. I saw a hole in a market that I was looking for myself, a product that I was looking for myself, and so decided to give it a whirl. And 8 years later, I'm still whirling.
So how has your business pivoted throughout the pandemic?
Well, there's one major catalyst for our pivot, which is that in February of this year, we came out with a new product, which was single serving packets of dressing. Our dressings are made with olive oil. They're sugar free. They're good and good for you. They've got just a couple ingredients in them. And as a result, they're a little bit more expensive than typical salad dressing. I would argue you're getting what you pay for. But we wanted to have a way that people could try our dressing affordably without having to buy a whole bottle. And so we came out with the single serving packets. And the thought was that they also would be useful for the on-the-go life. Like if you're packing a lunch for the office or for your kids, or you're going on a trip and you want to be able to maintain your healthy eating while you're doing so, then the packets gave you a way to do that. Obviously, about a month after we came out with those packets, life on the go came to a screeching halt. And we had just purchased about 100,000 of these units that were destined to be going into stores and into cafeterias. And all those orders just disappeared. And so we had an abundance of inventory, no customers. And we saw the opportunity to actually double down locally with people who were providing meals to children and to the elderly and to first responders. And so we partnered with organizations that were doing preparing those meals and saw the opportunity. You know, we weren't going to make any money. It was okay because we weren't going to be selling them to anybody. But we saw the opportunity to be doing something good while the world was in the middle of this very strange situation. So we partnered with World Central Kitchen, which is Jose Andreas's group that's been working nationwide. And we partnered with a local organization, DC Central Kitchen, which provides meals to DC public schools. And we've partnered with them for years, but we really just said, you know, we'll give it to you at whatever you can afford, whatever price you can afford to pay. Even if it's nothing, we'll supply salad dressing because more than ever, healthy eating is important. And we want people to be able to eat well and to eat with dignity during this time.
How did you feel when you were on that video call and you found out that you won?
I can't describe the shock when they told me that I was a winner. And I just burst into tears and I tried to understand later, like what were all those emotions that I was feeling? And overwhelmingly, it was one of gratitude and also one of pride, because what I loved was that this is something that we've been doing, you know, we've been doing it now for 3 months and we supplied about, I think, 25,000, maybe 30,000 meals. And to have that be recognized means so much to me, in part because I hope it will motivate other people to do it.
How do you plan to use the $10,000 to grow your business?
Well, we're going to use the money actually to keep on supplying meals to school children in the area. Right now, we're losing about 20 cents on every packet that we give to them. And so we're going to use the Stacey's Rise money in order to make up that delta. So I don't mind not making money. I just can't lose money. I still want to stay in business. Yeah. And I love that this enables us to do it. We figured that we could continue to supply meals through August. And now I know we'll be able to do it through the summer and probably into September. And that is just a great gift, because I don't think schools are reopening anytime soon. And at least where I am, you know, children rely on their school meals in order to get their nutritional needs met. And so being able to offer them something that we know is healthy just means the world to me.
Where can we purchase your products?
Well, we're available throughout the Mid-Atlantic at Whole Foods. Really the best place to buy it is Amazon.com or DressItUpDressing.com.
This is Chi, founder of Purpose Tea.
Purpose Tea is a mission-driven company, so we're the first to commercialize just the most exciting innovation in tea, which is purple tea, but really our purpose extends the teas that we sell to our consumers all the way to the farms where female tea pickers pick our teas. So we help empower them and make sure that they have a path out of poverty.
And why did you decide to start a tea company?
You know what? I didn't. I actually didn't want to start. Not that I didn't want to start a tea company. What I wanted to do was start a business that uses that platform to drive positive change in the world. So that's really the vision. And our what we want to do is end female poverty in the business of tea. But really, when I started it, and I was just an avid tea drinker. I knew nothing about purple tea at the time because it's a fairly new commercialization. But I knew that I wanted to use business to drive change. And I knew that in tea, female tea workers were the most exploited in the business. And I thought, why not create a brand that differentiates on our mission? And when I, you know, took a trip to Kenya, I actually discovered purple tea when I was there. And my host, like, you know, was, I was there to really learn about the women in the supply chain and to understand challenges and things like that, to really model our social impact work. But when I was there, she was like, oh, hey, we have this thing called purple tea. And I was like, shut the front door. I was like, what's purple tea? Because I love tea and I've never heard of purple tea. And so when she told me about all of the health benefits and the health properties, I just got extremely excited because, you know, I really wanted to start the business just to help women in the developing world, especially in this field. But being such an avid tea drinker, you know, I totally started geeking out about the possibilities of just disrupting a category, a really fast growing category here in the States with just a new type of innovation. So that was really exciting.
How do you incorporate sustainability and diversity in your company?
Well, so there's a couple of things. I mean, for me, I think it's important that as a female-led company and a company that has a mission of empowering women, it's super important for me to be able to have that representation in the company. My company is so small right now that it's just two full-time folks. And so I always sort of go by that rule of, you know, half the population and kind of women hold up half the sky. And so at least, you know, a half of the company has to be female, right? Female focused, and we need to represent that in that way. So our environmental piece is really twofold. Purple tea is another exciting thing about it is that it is climate change resistant. So it's drought, frost, and pest resistant. So it's a hardier plant that can withstand the changes that are happening now. And I think the more that we can commercialize that plant and the more that it gets planted in Kenya where it's grown, has the ability to help that industry and also help the workers in that industry. And the other thing about us is that we're, you know, I'm really mindful of single-use plastics. Like we don't have any plastic in our products lineup. We only use glass bottles, and we won't use plastic. So those are some of the things that we're trying to put forward in terms of the sustainability message and issue.
How did you feel when you were on that video call and you found out that you were one of the winners of the Stacey's Rise project?
I was so happy. I mean, I was super excited and really, really just happy. I mean, that's really the only thing that I can say about about learning about it. I mean, just being in the food and beverage industry and being a part of this is like a dream come true. So I was so, so stoked about it.
How do you plan to spend the grant money?
Well, you know, we have quite a bit of operational costs, but I think most of that money is going to go towards marketing. So when you're a startup brand and getting folks, you know, aware of your products and getting folks to buy your products really involves a lot of marketing dollars. And so I think that grant money is definitely going to go towards spreading the word about Purpose Tea.
What does the future hold for Purpose Tea?
Well, you know, we have a pretty ambitious plan. I mean, for me, the more that we're able to grow as a business, the more we're able to help the female tea workers. And so that's why I intentionally chose like a social enterprise model, a for-profit model, and not a nonprofit model, because I wanted the work that we did selling products and commercializing our products into the marketplace to really support what we're trying to do on the farmer and tea worker side. So So the more that we're successful, the more that we're able to impact lives of women in Kenya.
How can we support you in the work that you're doing?
Obviously, you know, buying our products and becoming fans of our products is the first step in helping us. And you can buy on our website at purposetea.com, or you can find us in select retailers in Dallas and in California for now. But I think also, you know, talking to friends and family about our mission and our new innovation of Purple Tea would also really help, because not a lot of people know what Purple Tea is, but I think most people, if you're a tea drinker, can understand, you know, issues that are happening with workers. I think that's kind of, well, it's pretty well documented, but just understanding kind of the problems we're trying to solve and really putting a human face on the lives that we're trying to impact for the women who are picking our tea, I think is would be really helpful too.
This is Janita, founder of Janita's Jar.
I am the founder of Janita's Jar, a mission-driven cookie company dedicated to educating and eliminating relationship violence against women.
And what inspired you to start this company?
So I'm a survivor of relationship violence, and I grew up making cookies with my family. I'm one of 8 children. And so when I was in an abusive relationship, my sort of mental and just kind of escape was to bake cookies. And so taking some of my favorite memories of my childhood, which was being in the kitchen with my family, and a very traumatic experience of, you know, going through the process of an abusive relationship, I wanted to make sure no other woman felt alone and isolated as I did. And so I'm combining those two parts of my life to educate and raise awareness about relationship violence. And using food as a tool to connect people, to engage in conversations, goes back generations and generations. So it just makes sense to take something that we love, cookies, with a topic that can be very difficult to talk about and create meaningful conversations.
And how is it that you talk about domestic violence with your business?
Sure. So we know that the demographic of 18 to 24 young women are 3 times more likely to be in an abusive relationship than any other time in their life. And so we target specifically college students. I bring in a panel of experts, and that consists of a therapist, a nurse practitioner, and a survivor. We partner with student-led organizations like sororities, fraternities, professional organizations on college campuses. They bring their peers together. We host a 2-hour conversation series. And our goal is, one, to reduce the shame and isolation that a lot of victims of relationship violence experience. 2, to allow college students to connect and remember that they are responsible for each other, so to create allies amongst peers. And then lastly, after our 2-hour conversation series, we want to inspire those college students to take action and ultimately to work together to change the stats about relationship violence.
And so you facilitate these events through the profits of your cookie sales?
Correct. We redirect profits from Janita's Jar, the sale of cookies. So we really try to sell on college campuses, and that way we're doing demos on college campuses. That's how we connect with the student leadership organizations and are able to connect and host our conversation series.
What's been the hardest challenge in starting and growing your business?
It's really difficult to, because it's like I'm growing 2 businesses. So it's been most difficult to build this social enterprise as well as create a profitable cookie company. Because when people talk about Janita's Jar, I don't want them to just think about cookies. I don't want them just to think about relationship violence. I want the two to be married, because it's all about sharing stories and creating meaningful conversations. And so it's really hard to stay focused on just your bottom line when you're also building the foundation of this organization that needs credibility to recruit organizations, as well as building your network. And so that's been the most difficult, building towards the mission, which feels like building 2 companies at one time.
How has the COVID pandemic impacted your business?
So when COVID hit, immediately, I lost 75% of my revenue, because the bulk of my business was business to business. And so companies weren't going into the office. And so their cookie subscriptions were put on hold. In addition, everyone was, they had to, you know, shelter at home. And so that impacted my ability to host our cookies and conversation sessions. So everything about my business was put on hold. And so it required me to think differently, to ask for help, to communicate with my customer base, and try to rethink how I was going to survive and sustain a business
that I know that will make an impact in the, over the long haul.
How did you feel when you were on that video call and you found out that you were one of the winners?
So honestly, before the call, when I had got the email, I was in a meeting or a Zoom meeting with my intern. I was saying, hey, we got to cut the meeting short today. And I told her, you know, hey, I applied for this competition, but, you know, sometimes I have to have this call and I didn't think I was going to win. I think I have to just talk to them about my application, but I'm sure I probably won't hear anything for 3 months or, you know, 6 months. And so I was kind of feeling like kind of discouraged, like, oh my gosh, like they want to ask more questions, which means they're questioning or wondering what I did. And so I was pleasantly surprised to find out that they were calling to let me know that I had been selected as a finalist in the Stacey's Rise Project. Beyond ecstatic and relieved.
How will you be using the grant money to grow your business?
So two things. One, I will use it to implement our second round of printing, which we use our packaging that we put our cookie snacks in to share the message of relationship violence. And so we'll use part of the funds to create another line of packaging and enhance our messaging. And then the second part will be to bring in a production manager to manage all of our cookie production process.
What is your favorite type of cookie?
That's like saying, who's your favorite child? That's three flavors. I can say that if with that, like sight unseen, chocolate chip is the biggest seller. And we do three flavors, chocolate chip, oatmeal peanut butter, chocolate chip, and oatmeal raisin. But whenever I do a demo, the oatmeal peanut butter chocolate chip outpaces the other two flavors. And oatmeal raisin, we love it, but you know, it comes in a slow third.
Yeah, I know. I would definitely pick the oatmeal peanut butter chocolate chip one for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Are your products available through e-commerce? Can anyone in the country buy them?
Absolutely. We're at janitasjar.com.
What does the future hold for Janita's Jar?
Ultimately, my goal is to develop into my own production facility, which then allows me to impact my community by offering jobs. And then to expand my impact, that means then we can reach more college students. And right now, our Cookies and Conversation series are in Minnesota. And my goal for Janita's Jar is to take that platform nationally, because we ultimately want to change the stats and end relationship violence against women. And so the more we raise awareness, the more we educate, the more we take away the shame around that topic, the better our lives will be, the healthier our relationships will be, and that's a big win for all of us.
Absolutely. And I know that buying cookies is obviously the number one thing that you want people to do, but how else can our listeners support the work that you're doing?
Sure. So in addition to purchasing our cookies, but we, again, our message goes to college students. And so if they are young people that are connected to sororities and fraternities on campus, and they're interested in learning how they can host our 2-hour conversation series, and although it's changing and we're shifting to make some of our content happen virtually over video conferencing, we'd love for those students to reach out to us. Because that's the way that we're able to get the message out. That's how we're able to connect with more students and get the conversation going.
And last but not at all least, this is Joy, founder of Fair Anita.
Fair Anita is a social enterprise. We partner with 8,000 talented women around the world to create fair trade jewelry and accessories made from recycled materials.
And how did you get started on your entrepreneurial journey?
I started Fair Anita because I learned that, financial insecurity is the main reason why women stay in abusive partnerships. And therefore, if we can create economic opportunity for women, they are more likely to have the resources they need to be able to leave abusive partners. So I started Fair Anita because of my own history with rape and sexual violence, and I wanted to work with other survivors around the world. So that led me to Fair Anita and a mission to create economic self-sufficiency for women and especially survivors.
And what's been the hardest challenge in starting and growing your own business?
For me, the hardest challenge in our business has been cash flow. So we're a fair trade organization and we pay our artisan partners at least 50% upfront, sometimes 100% upfront, and then the other 50% when the product ships. Whereas in a traditional retail model, you would pay your suppliers, you know, up to 120 days or whatever after you actually receive the product. And so we are paying artisans in, say, January and February for product that we won't receive until August and, you know, not sell until even later in that year. And so as we continue to scale, which has been fantastic, it's been somewhat complicated to keep up with cash flow.
And what is your favorite product of what you offer?
Ooh, I have so many favorite products. My current favorite product is probably, well, I have two. I'm currently wearing, they're called the Cloudy Waters painted earrings. They're bright turquoise and pretty fun. And they stand out when you're on Zoom phone calls, which I'm into. And then I also really love, we made this jewelry, we call it the Wayfair Jewelry Roll Travel Case. And it took me like 3 years to design it. But I, maybe it sounds cocky, but I just think it's so smart. It's like this two-layer jewelry case, and the bottom layer, you like snap in your necklaces and you tuck it under elastic. So if you're traveling, your necklaces don't become like a hot mess. It just makes traveling with jewelry dramatically easier.
Do you do the designing yourself?
Yeah, so I do most of the design work myself, but we partner with 8,000 women around the world. Sometimes the women are designing pieces themselves, or sometimes we collaborate on designs, but we're always using their like traditional techniques, depending on the communities that they're based in. So for example, we work with a group of artisans, actually two groups of artisans in Ethiopia, who make jewelry from recycled bullet casings, which is pretty cool. And so like the women figured out how to make jewelry from recycled bullet casings. That wasn't anything that I was innovative enough to come up with. But then once they have these different beads, we kind of put them together in designs that we know will sell in our market here in the United States.
So besides the recycled bullet casings, which I think sounds really interesting, how else do you incorporate sustainability in your company?
Yeah, so we make, almost all of our products are made from recycled materials, which is a really fun challenge, especially given that we work in 9 different countries around the world. So the access to recycled materials is different depending on where we're at. We use a lot of upcycled pieces, a lot of recycled brass is what the majority of our products are made from. And then, you know, sustainability is a huge part of who we are as an organization. And I think of sustainability in terms of the ethics in working with our partners as well. So really passionate that, you know, we provide fair employment for the women that we work with, and making sure we're empowering women rather than exploiting them, and making sure it's a sustainable job for them as well. So we pay 2 to 4 times minimum wage plus health insurance and educational scholarships to make sure it's a job that they can sustain their own livelihoods, and ultimately they end up giving back to their community time and time again.
How has the COVID pandemic affected your business?
COVID pandemic has been very, very interesting for our organization. I was actually in Peru working with our artisan partners hands-on when the pandemic hit. And Peru was the second country in the world to close its borders, both in and out. And so I was actually trapped in Peru for almost a month. But it gave me a really, really interesting perspective on the pandemic and how our artisan partners are living, and even beyond the actual health implications of the pandemic, the economic implications, you know, when entire economies shut down, especially in really poor communities, like what that looks like. So one way that our organization has responded, we've started selling masks. We sell organic cotton masks that are quite nice. And then 100% of the profits of that go towards what we're calling emergency relief funds, which are essentially donations that we give to our artisan partners so that they can support their community through the pandemic in whatever way they best see fit. So a lot of artisans, while they're well taken care of with their salaries and whatnot, they're seeing their neighbors like completely suffering. And so they're distributing food and medicine and cleaning supplies to the vulnerable families in their community. And I think while it's been really, really difficult, I think in a lot of ways it's made our community of women investing in women even stronger.
How did you feel when you were on that video call and you found out that you were one of the winners?
I was so confused. I don't know about you. I was like, wait, what? No, I was super, super excited. I mean, 2020 has been a hard year for us all. And I feel like that was like oh my God, I finally got good news this year. So yeah, it was a relief. And part of what I'm most looking forward to is connecting with all the other entrepreneurs, all the other founders, and learning from everybody. I think it'll be a really great community.
What does the future hold for Farinita?
One of our big goals is just influencing consumerism in the United States and how to help customers understand that there's so many different hands that touch a product before it hits a shelf, and you know, that where you're spending your money matters. And so I think the more involved we can become in the fair trade movement, in a conscious consumerism movement, we like to be leaders in this space and grow these ethical supply chains. And you know, we are a for-profit, mission-driven company. We're actually a public benefit corporation in the state of Minnesota. And so we want to prove that you can be both profitable and doing great things in the world. So kind of want to be a model of that to inspire other organizations to do something similar.
How can we learn more and support the work that you're doing?
Yeah, you can find Farinita at farinita.com, F-A-I-R-A-N-I-T-A.com. We're on Instagram at fair.anita. We're on Facebook as well. We're always interested, you know, one of the beautiful things about our model is that our mission is created when we're selling products. It's not, we have to choose one or the other. So the more products we're selling, the more fair trade jobs we're able to create for women around the world. And so just really getting the word out about our mission makes a huge impact.
I want to take a moment now to thank Stacy's Pita Chips for selecting all of us. I'm just so honored to be part of this. If you want to learn more about my story and what my entrepreneurial journey has looked like over the last 3 years, we just published a video on our YouTube channel of the full history of Bestowed Essentials and Hippie Haven with never before shared pictures and videos. Please check out the other winners, share their work, and buy their products if it speaks to you. I cannot wait to see where they all go from here, and I thank you for being part of our journeys.